When I was a child, I was given all kinds of unsolicited advice. Pay attention, Frank. Stop looking out the window and doing your homework. Have you cleaned your room yet? You should be nicer to your sisters. What about the garden? Did you water the garden? I still get that today. What about weeding? Unsolicited advice doesn't just end at childhood, does it? There was always someone who's going to give you some unsolicited advice. That is the heart of preaching. Did you come in here think you're going to, and I just have to give you unsolicited advice? You don't really need it, but you're here anyway, and you're going to get it. Today's scripture lesson is full of unsolicited advice. Women come to the tomb. Probably because the crucifixion and putting Jesus in the tomb was in such a haphazard way because the Passover or because the Sabbath was coming up, that they felt like, he didn't really get the kind of right burial that he should have got. In fact, in other gospel renderings of this, the women talk among themselves, who's going to roll the stone back? We can't get in there. Matthew doesn't bother with that one. And on the way, a miracle happens, okay? And the first unsolicited advice that they get is from an angel, who's sitting on top of the stone watching the world go by and said, oh, I'm glad you showed up. I wanted to tell you, that he's not here. They don't even go in the tomb. Don't even have to worry about that. He's not here. You need to go to Galilee. Tell the disciples to go to Galilee. Okay. And so they turn on their heels. They start marching back to tell the disciples, and they meet Jesus. And they grab onto him, and he gives them some unsolicited advice. Tell the disciples to meet me in Galilee. Then they continue to go on. And guess where he meets the disciples? In Galilee. You would think that eventually, after seeing it three times, he's going to show up there. But think about it. Did they really look for that? Or were they looking for a resurrected person? No, not at all. They were there to finish up the rites of the dead. They were there to make sure that at least someone paid attention to this person that they cared about. And in fact, within Matthew's gospel, they are some of the last witnesses to Jesus being alive, these two women. They were the ones who watched him die. And they wanted to make sure that he was taken care of even in his death. When I was a child, I remember getting unsolicited advice from people in the town. Now, the town I grew up in was very similar to the society that we live in today. The idea of church and church life in the 60s and into the 70s had really kind of evaporated from this area. I mean, Easter you might pick up a couple extra people, but it wasn't like this crush of crowd or that people had within themselves and within their society an idea to go to church. There were other things to do. You either worked in the forest, you were a logger or something, you may have worked for the county, you may have worked for the school, or you worked in tourism. And in tourism, Sunday's another work day. It wasn't a day that you took off at all. It was just, there was work to do, you had to do it. And I remember as I would go about my wandering days and people would be correcting me and seeing me going, where are you going, what are you doing kind of thing. And I remember one time I was walking by the 76 station in town, and the old guy who ran it, saw me there and goes, where are you going? I said, well, I was going to the dump. If you had to come last week to know what that story was about, we lit the dump on fire. But he would say, where are you coming from? I said, well, I went to church this morning. He says, that's good that you do that. I read that book once, and if they took, and it was okay with me until they got to the miracles and the resurrection stuff. And after that, it was just like, that stuff doesn't happen, and I just kind of put it on the shelf. He thought it was great that I would go to church, but he didn't believe any of these stories. Those stories are hard to believe. We just kind of assume that this happens, but we don't assume it for our own life. We assume it for Jesus, that God worked this massive miracle and brought this person who was slain back to life. But we really don't We don't have high expectations for ourselves on that. And we know people who have suffered greatly. We know people who have died. We know people who have hurt. We know people who have had all kinds of things happen in their lives. And we don't easily jump to miracles. I think that's pretty obvious, and I think that's actually self-preserving, that if you jump to miracles all the time, you would either be, like some people are, very angry with God. Why didn't God heal this person? Why didn't God change the outcome of the reality that I wanted to have? Or you might end up being so nihilistic that you just believe, like this guy who ran the service station, what's going to be is going to be, and there's no reason to even consider something outside the norm. Today's scripture lesson is, believe it or not, has a political point of view. Remember the women, when they see Jesus, they run up and they put their hands on his feet and they worship him. That's what you did to the emperor. If you were in the presence of the emperor, the first thing you were to do, this is the emperor of Rome, you were to show allegiance by coming in, getting on your knees, and putting your hands on his feet, because he was divine. And you were to show that you were less than him and that you are a true follower of Caesar. It's interesting to me that Matthew includes this within his gospel, because the people reading that would have known right off the bat what Matthew was trying to achieve there. To those folks who were starting the new Christian community, where allegiances were very important, where people were being called and pulled this way and that way, where are allegiances and where did they lie? Matthew shows that our allegiances are with God, and that we stand against political power that would say that our allegiance should be somewhere else. It's a very cunning document in a lot of ways, the Bible is. We take it as, you know, kind of face value. Well, yeah, they were overwhelmed with them, so they grabbed onto his feet. No, not really. They were showing that they still had a political leader. The same political leader they came into Jerusalem with a week ago with palms. The same political leader. They didn't relinquish God as their leader. So what do you do with a miracle? Do you just say, well, you know, it's a fairy tale. That's the way it goes. You know, it's like we read the Grimm's fairy tales where all these things happen, you know, that the protagonist gets into a problem and then all of a sudden some miracle transpires and they're out of it, you know, and the woodsman comes in at the right time, you know, the witch is put in the oven. They're all these things, you know, they're resolved and all things are good again. Christianity doesn't work out that way, I'm sorry to say. There may be, Jesus' death is resolved in some sense through this resurrection story, but it's just the beginning. It's the beginning of a story that continues to unfold even to today. What does resurrection mean? For most people, don't witnesses the miracles of their lives in any kind of revelatory fashion. Let me tell you, I graduated from college. That was a miracle. I graduated from seminary. That was an even bigger miracle. I've held a job my entire adult life. Now there's a miracle. We think of things as being outside the norm, as being some kind of, it's the miracle story. You know, we're the Hallmark Channel is full of them, isn't it? We can just tune into one and it'll be there for us. But we don't really think about it for our own lives. We think about that's somebody else, that's something else, but that isn't really me. That really isn't happening around me. Can you think of a time in your life that something happened that you have no explanation for? Just happened. I ran into someone on the street that I hadn't seen in 30 years. I probably would have never met. Maybe it was the person you met and married, if you're married and met somebody. How would that have ever happened? Maybe it's something your child has done before your eyes. Graduate from college, my mother would say. The Well, you know, what are those things that are out of the ordinary? What are those things that just make you pause just a minute and say, whoa, how did that happen? What does this mean? The miracle of Jesus' resurrection is that kind of event for us. It's not one of these things that's happened in the past, that happened to an individual, that happened once upon a time. It's something that rolls out within the community all the time, where people who were once a part are now a part of the whole. I grew up in this town. There was a woman who never, I knew her for 15 years before I ever saw her outside the sphere of her house. She was basically lived in this place and never left. Her husband worked with my father, so, you know, socially we'd see them periodically. But she, I don't know what happened to her. One day she left the house. She sat in the back of the church. Seemed odd to me. Never saw her there before. Lots of Easters and Christmases had come and gone, and weekly Sundays, she'd never been there before. Then she came back the next week and came back the next week. By the fourth or fifth week, she wanted to be baptized. Took her down to Hot Creek, put her in the stream, baptized. Then she decided she wanted to figure out what this was about. She hosted a Bible study at her house. The pastor did the Bible study. I mean, no, it's like, well, you want to know? Sure, we'll go do that. Her life was changed. Finally, someone had the gumption to even ask why. And she said, you know, I was stuck for a long, long time. And I felt that I was going to die in this position unless I got up and moved. And when I moved, I found some life. And I thought, I don't know where to go, so I went to the church. And when I wandered in there, some people were friendly to me at least, and there was a sense of spirituality that I wanted to know more about. And as I moved along in life, I found I had more life to live. And as I lived more of a life, I had an even bigger life. Resurrection happens at all kinds of times in people's lives. It can happen if you're stuck. It can happen if you're depressed. It can happen if tragedy is all around you. Because God doesn't give up on us. God doesn't give up on us. From our first breath to our last and into God's very presence, God doesn't give up on us. There are many times in our life where we feel like we may give up on ourselves. We'll say it'll never be that way. But God, never is not part of God's vocabulary. It's pretty obvious when we read the stories of the Bible that never is not the place where people are. It's obvious from this story about the resurrection that never is not something that is equated with the story at all. It'll never happen. It'll never be this way. You'll never get there from here. You'll never be happy. It says just the total opposite, that the potential for life is within all things, that you're never beyond the touch of God. You're never beyond the touch of other human beings who will come and see and be with you. And you may feel lonely in your life. You may feel that people abandon you, but you are not alone. You have a companion with God, and if you are open to the world, you will find companionship with human beings as well. Sometimes they'll rub you the wrong way, but they want to be with you. Sometimes they'll give you unsolicited advice. Stop staring out the window and do something. And sometimes they'll show you that you are lovable and deserve a new life. Will you pray with me? On this Resurrection Sunday, our God, we give you thanks that you don't use the word never. But you have given us the potential to be all things new through you. We pray that we would be open to the newness of this day. Just like Easter lilies bloom and show great flowers, we ask that we would bloom around you as well. That you would involve yourselves in our lives, that we might see miracles around us, experience your reality within us, and be known as your beloved. We are grateful for the resurrection of Jesus, and we ask that his resurrected spirit would live within us as well. Amen. I invite you to stand and sing with me our hymn of dedication.